14. Is it always nice to bump into an old acquaintance? Hiccup would have been delighted to know that his father and the hooligan tribe were sailing to his assistance. But they were still an hour or so's sail away, and in the meantime, Hiccup had more immediate problems. Without even thinking, all three Vikings drew their swords as well. Before doing this, Kamikaze quietly removed her hairy waistcoat from around her shoulders and carefully nestled the firestone inside it. Alvin was performing the final twist on his sword, so he didn't notice her doing this, which is important, as we shall see. So near, and yet so far. Fishlegs fumbled with his scabbard in his haste to draw his sword, and the entire contents of his running away suitcase spilt all over the mountainside.
"Alvin the Treacherous!" blurted out Kamikaze. "How on earth did you escape from all those shark worms?"
To find out about Alvin and the shark worms, please listen to How to Speak Dragonese, another excellent audiobook.
"So kind of you to ask, my dear young lady," murmured Alvin the Treacherous, picking at his teeth with the end of his hook, for all the world as if he was relaxing in an easy chair rather than sitting on the back of an exterminator on top of a volcano that was about to explode. "So kind of you to ask. After you had torn down my precious Fort Sinister and thrown me to the shark worms, most people would assume that I would indeed be dead."
Alvin's one eye was now cold and furious.
"We didn't throw you to the shark worms," protested Fishlegs. "You fell in the middle of trying to kill us."
Alvin ignored him.
"But you should know that a treacherous is hard to kill, my dears. Very hard to kill. The shark worms were hungry, but I was hungrier. The first shark worm took my eye."
Alvin pointed savagely at his eye patch.
"But it regretted it," said Alvin, with grim satisfaction. "I killed it as it ate, from a single blow of the storm blade, and then I crawled inside its open mouth and hid within the floating corpse while the feeding frenzy continued."
"Oh, yuck," groaned Fishlegs, pulling a face.
"Indeed," bit Alvin. "But one finds one is not so picky when one's life is on the line. 6 long hours the frenzy continued before the shark worms started to drift away along the summer current, and then my hook curled around the floating shark worm's backbone. I struck out for the shore. It took me a long time, for we had drifted far," said Alvin bitterly, "and weak and eyeless as I was. And then, when I finally managed to get within swimming distance of the land and let go of the dead creature that had hidden me and supported me that whole way, it took one final act of revenge. Even though it was long since dead, its jaws snapped forward in a reflex action and took off one of my kicking swimming legs from just below the knee."
"Oh, dear," murmured Hiccup, sympathetic, even though it was Alvin.
"Quite so," said Alvin. "All of the Romans had left by the time I got back to the island, so I spent that long, cold winter hiding in the ruins of Fort Sinister, nursing myself back to health, practising my sword fighting and dreaming of revenge."
"Oh, dear," said Hiccup again.
"Quite so," said Alvin again. "I have my revenge on the shark worm. I carved my fake leg out of the tooth with which it bit me. But I do not have my revenge on you, Hiccup Horrendous Haddock the Third. You owe me a hand, a leg, an eye and a full head of hair, and I intend you to pay."
"But it is not strictly my fault that you lost all these things," protested Hiccup. "You brought them on yourself. And speaking of owing people things, what about your treatment of poor humongously Hotshot? You took his ruby heart stone and left him to rot in the terrible gold mines of this island. You let him think that his love did not love him and had married someone else knowing that he was still alive and in slavery. What had Humongous done to you for you to hate him so badly?"
"I can hate without reason," spat Alvin the Treacherous. "And what about his treatment of me? He promised me that he would kill you. That would have been such a lovely artistic twist of fate. To kill his love's only son, I would have enjoyed that so much. And I worked so hard for it, pouring poisonous lies about you into his foolish, trusting ears, stoking up his anger and his bitterness, his desire for revenge. I never expected a hero like him would break a solemn promise like that one. Especially to me, whom he owed so much. My goodness! Alvin sounded virtuously indignant. You can't trust anybody these days. Alvin sighed. But I suppose if he failed me in killing you, Hiccup, he has also failed me in the second part of his mission.
What was the second part of his mission? Asked Hiccup in surprise. Alvin's hairless eyebrows lifted.
Didn't he tell you? Purred Alvin. I wonder why not. He was supposed to bring the Firestone to me, here at the volcano.
Kamikaze, Hiccup and Fishlegs all gasped and took a step backward, horribly aware that the Firestone was lying only a few feet behind them, curled up in Kamikaze's waistcoat.
"The Firestone?" stammered Hiccup, playing for time. "What's the Firestone?"
"You know perfectly well what the Firestone is, Hiccup," sneered Alvin. "The Firestone has many powerful secrets, but one of its many riddles is that the exterminators are terrified of it. So he who holds the Firestone controls the exterminators, and therefore the archipelago. I wonder why Humongous didn't tell you he was supposed to bring it to me."
Alvin looked with narrowed eye at the three young Vikings, all trying to look unconcerned. And then Alvin smiled as something occurred to him, a silky, serpentine smile, revealing far too many teeth.
"Perhaps it is because you were bringing it to me anyway."
Alvin started to laugh, throwing his head back in a singularly unpleasant, gloating roar.
"Oh, this is too good!"
He wiped his streaming eyes.
"You're a clever boy, aren't you, Hiccup? Perhaps you worked out another of the Firestone's riddles, that it can stop the volcano from exploding. So you have come here. Three terrifying Viking heroes, none of you taller than my armpit, bringing the Firestone with you, hoping, praying, longing to prevent disaster at the last minute. How sweet!" Alvin sneered.
He moved a little closer to the three Vikings, like a malevolent spider, swishing his storm blade and tut-tutting insincerely.
"And you were so close," he commiserated. "So close to success, so near, and yet so far. What a shame. I do so hate to disappoint the little children in their charming little dreams," he sighed. "But I'm afraid it can't be helped. It's my job."
A hint of steel crept into his voice.
"Hand over the Firestone, Hiccup."
"I haven't got the Firestone," said Hiccup stoutly.
"Really?"
asked Alvin in disbelief. Toothless had crept out from under Hiccup's helmet and was listening with interest.
"Oh, yes you have," he stammered. "It's right over..."
Hiccup hurriedly clamped a hand over his mouth. Alvin chuckled, for he understood enough Dragonese to know what Toothless had just said.
"You're a clever boy, Hiccup," he said. "But you really should have learnt by now to work alone, like me. Then you wouldn't be let down by all the idiotically stupid creatures and people around you. Hand over the Firestone before I lose my temper."
"Never!" yelled Hiccup.
Alvin the Treacherous leapt at Hiccup.
"You catch the other two, exterminator! Alive, mind you! I need that Firestone, and leave Hiccup to me!"
The exterminator swooped forward towards Kamikaze and Fishlegs with a savage growl and reared up on its hind legs, its 10 sword claws spread out in front of it. Hiccup held up his sword, Endeavour, in the very nick of time, and it caught the storm blade as Alvin brought it down towards Hiccup's chest with terrifying ferocity. Kamikaze and Fishlegs were fighting a great black monster with 10 swords to their 2. The creature used its claws just exactly as if it were sword fighting, and its fingers were so flexible and bendy that they moved like arms, thrusting delicately in and out. It wasn't under orders to kill them, thank Thor, only capture them, and within about 2 minutes it had done just that to Fishlegs with its left arm. One finger sent Fishleg's sword spinning up into the air to disarm him. With its left leg, it knocked Fishleg's down, and then it pinned Fishleg's to the ground with its 5 sword fingers, 2 above his shoulders and 2 below his arms. It had more trouble with Kamikaze, for Kamikaze was a wonderful sword fighter, and she chatted the entire time she fought, which was even more off-putting than the sword fighting itself.
"Take that, you slow-coach, serpent-tongued, see-through-chested handbag!" she cried, leaping through its swords and tweaking its whiskers.
The exterminator howled in pain and fury.
"Cry, baby!" cried Kamikaze, joyfully. "Does the ickle dwagon monster want his ickle mumsy to kiss it better for him, then?"
A look came into the exterminator's eyes, which said, as plain as day, "Maybe I should kill this little gnat after all, whatever my leader says." The exterminator swelled up in fury and redoubled the slashing and thrusting of his 5 razor-sharp blades. And eventually he broke through her guard, picked her up, kicking and screaming, and pinned her down with his 5 sword fingers plunged into the ground around her, just like he had done with Fishlegs. The exterminator wasn't so bothered by her insults now she was at its mercy, and it lay down its gigantic, oozing, pantherish body in between Fishlegs and Kamikaze and folded up its great black wings to watch the fight between Hiccup and Alvin.
"Humongous was right," said Fishlegs to Kamikaze, gloomily. "There is no point in having me in the team. I did try to make myself go berserk, but it only works when I don't want it to. At least you put up a fight, and you burgled the stone and everything. I've done nothing helpful at all. I might just as well have run away like the others."
This wasn't quite true. Sometimes we can be helpful in ways that are not totally obvious. And if Fishlegs had run away like the others, he would have taken his running away suitcase with him. And that suitcase, as we shall see, was about to come in extremely useful. Alvin had been practicing his sword fighting since the last time Hiccup fought him, on top of the mounds of treasure in the Caliban Caves. But then Hiccup had been practicing too, and had been getting extra sword fighting lessons with Gormless the Grim, because it was the only thing on the pirate training programme that he was at all good at. And although Alvin was taller and had longer arms than Hiccup, he did have the disadvantage of the ivory sharkworm tooth leg, which made him stagger about the mountaintop, cursing horribly, while Hiccup was very light on his feet and quick to dodge even the most violent of thrusts. It was very evenly matched. But Alvin had one other advantage over Hiccup, which was that he was a big cheat. It is not considered good sportsmanship in barbarian culture to make a huge swipe at your child opponent with your hook while sword fighting. Nor is it thought to be part of the Viking code to trip the preteen up with your sharkworm tooth leg as he dodges out of the way. However, Alvin had never been a good sport, and he did both those things in quick succession without so much as a twinge of guilt. Hiccup sprawled onto his backside, arms and legs flailing. With a howl of triumph, Alvin the Treacherous hauled the sword Endeavour out of Hiccup's hand and threw it far out of reach. As Alvin wrenched the sword from Hiccup's hand and raised the storm blade for the final blow, a flash of sunlight caught the bracelet writhing around Alvin's good arm. This would have been the end of Hiccup's quest had he not had the good fortune to have landed right in the middle of the spilled contents of Fishleg's running away suitcase. Still sprawled on his back, Hiccup grabbed hold of the nearest thing to him, which happened to be a box of Fishleg's tooth powder, and flung the entire contents of the box up into Alvin's face.
"Yeow!"
screeched Alvin. Fishleg's tooth powder was one of Old Wrinkly's most popular medicines, a mixture of extract of seaweed, gull droppings and spearmint for the taste. I don't know what actual good it did for the teeth, but it certainly stung like crazy as it worked its way into Alvin's one good eye. While Alvin stood there, momentarily blinded, Hiccup jumped up and pulled the bracelet off Alvin's arm. It took a few mighty tugs, for it was stuck fast to the fire suit, but Hiccup was desperate and pulled with a strength he didn't know he had. He threw the bracelet up to Toothless, shouting, "Take that to Humongous!" Toothless caught the bracelet, heavy as it was, and sank like a stone nearly to the ground. Mouth full of bracelet, he began to stammer out, "Why? Just do it! Don't argue for once in your life!" howled Hiccup. "Fast!" So the little dragon pointed himself down towards the tiny speck of the peregrine falcon floating in the bay and shot towards it, the weight of the golden bracelet helping him sink through the air even faster. Meanwhile, Alvin could now just about see out of his streaming red eye, and he was after Hiccup again, as mad as a snake with toothache. Hiccup held up the suitcase as a shield as Alvin rained down blow after blow, finally cutting the thing practically in two. Hiccup just rolled out of the way in time. Alvin grabbed hold of his waistcoat and Hiccup wriggled out of it, hitting Alvin on the nose with a sightseeing book called Visiting Rome for the first time.
"You should have learnt a lesson from your silly old grandfather. He's learnt not to try and interfere with fate, and he thought he was clever enough to hold the Firestone," snarled Alvin. "All his meddling, his silly quests achieved, were to break his daughter's heart. I wish you could have seen how Valhalla Rama cried when I told her that Humongous was dead. Oh, it was tragic."
"Liar, traitor, villain," shouted Hiccup, dodging yet another of Alvin's lunges and looking about him for something else that could be used as a weapon.
"Oh, boo-hoo,"
sneered Alvin the treacherous, creeping forward, his eye glittering.
"Stop, you're going to make me cry."
And then Hiccup threw one thing at him after another, the entire contents of Fishleg's running away suitcase that were now lying all around them on the mountainside. Fishleg's belt, whose heavy gold buckle caught Alvin full in the forehead. 6 pairs of clean knickers, several pairs of trousers, a bottle of asthma medicine which made both of them sneeze, and Fishleg's pillow, which burst on the end of the storm blade and showered the two of them in a rain of goose feathers.
"Ow, wow, wow,"
screeched Alvin as Fishleg's hairbrush landed bristle side up on Alvin's sensitive chin, and one of Fishleg's vests got caught around his ivory leg. But although Hiccup put off his defeat for vital minutes, particularly with a spirited fight using Fishleg's umbrella instead of a sword, the end was never really in doubt. Alvin was determined that Hiccup was not going to slip out of his fingers this time. Stumbling and staggering, his eye watering and spitting out goose feathers, he chopped the umbrella in half and finally got Hiccup in a hold he couldn't wriggle out of.
"Now," gloated Alvin, bringing the storm blade down to Hiccup's face, "where is the Firestone?"